from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Coming up on today's show, I'm going to air part two of this conversation I had with Jeff Snyder from Locked On Dodgers. When we closed yesterday's episode, Jeff was responding to something I had said about how Farhan Zaidi obviously had come over from the Dodgers. I asked him if he had seen any changes take effect in year one, and he was saying, you know, what's going to be important is being able to replicate the discovery of underrated players like Max Muncy. And I pointed to Mike Yastrzemski and Alex Dickerson as kind of a point to make that the Giants had started to see some of that last season. So Jeff was in the middle of responding. He mentioned Mike Yastrzemski and said he was probably the most likely to repeat his strong performance from 2019 moving forward. And then he's about to talk about Alex Dickerson and some others. So then the conversation will go on from there. We'll talk about the Giants' new coaching staff. We'll talk about the Giants' pitching. And then we'll wrap up, and that'll be the end of this conversation. So here it is. Jeff is going to talk about Alex Dickerson.
You know, and then, like, I mean, Alex Dickerson, my instinct is, well, he's still Alex Dickerson. You know, he's, you know, I could be wrong, but I'd be shocked if Alex Dickerson gets even 200 plate appearances for the Giants in 2020. Yeah, or I guess nobody's going to get, maybe nobody will, you know, but I'd be surprised if he's even a regular. You know, I believe he's going to turn back into a pumpkin. Donovan Solano, it's like, he's in his 30s, you know, was he really that good? And you know, Solano, I think, had a really high BABIP, which suggests that maybe he was getting lucky. And so Yastrzemski, I think, probably has the best chance of those guys. But I still, there's some part of me, you know, but like you said, he's kind of in the same boat as Max Muncy, about the same age, got released by a lesser team or traded or whatever, and then broke out. And so I am interested to see if Yastrzemski can follow up and actually have another good season.
Yeah, and the other factor is that Bruce Bochy has retired and they totally, completely turned over the entire coaching staff except for Ron Wotus. He's the one guy who's staying put. And I think they've completely changed their approach from a coaching perspective to development. And they're focusing on like swing changes and trying to elevate the ball more. So this is all stuff we've seen from the Dodgers for a long time to great success. And now that's coming to the Giants. So I think that'll help guys like Yastrzemski be able to maintain what they did in 2019, you know, whenever baseball gets underway. But maybe, do you have any like experience with Gabe Kapler? I know that he was under consideration for the job that went to Dave Roberts, but you know, he's the new manager. Could you maybe provide your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Kapler was the Dodgers farm director, and he put a lot of good things in place. I think he was a reason for a lot of the success the Dodgers had in player development. And then they've kept that going since he left and maybe even improved on it. So it's hard to know exactly what he was responsible for. As far as actually being a manager, he had some pretty big blunders in Philadelphia. But for me, a lot of what it boils down to is Farhan really wanted him. And I believe that Farhan is a smart guy. And so whether that was just his, and people can learn, you know, I think Gabe Kapler is very smart and I think he can learn from his mistakes. I don't, you know, it's not super surprising that a guy managing for the first time at any level in a decade makes some mistakes. And so he might turn into a pretty good manager. I don't really have much insight. I was glad when the Dodgers hired Dave Roberts instead of him. I think Roberts' personality, for me, the role of a manager is at least as much about managing people as it is about managing games. And Dave Roberts, personality-wise, I think fits what I look for more than Gabe Kapler does. Kapler's more of a drill sergeant in a lot of ways, and and Roberts is more of a rah-rah buddy type, and has a good balance. So I am interested to see what Kapler does, but I don't really have any guess on how good he will be. But I also think, I think the role of managers is mostly overstated anyway. I think in general, the best manager might gain you a win over the course of a season, and the worst manager might lose you two or three games. But for the most part, I think players got to go out there and play. And as long as the manager's not doing something really ridiculous, like, you know, playing the wrong guys consistently, you know, there's not much he can do to mess things up.
Yeah. And on that note, I'm thinking of the 2019 postseason for the Dodgers. And I know that Roberts took a lot of heat for, I think, the Joe Kelly decision, like the, you know, pitching Joe Kelly in that inning that went awry in, I believe it was game five. I know that a lot of people freaked out. I'm just wondering if you kind of take a different viewpoint or if you understand that criticism.
I, in general, I think the criticism of Roberts is overblown. In game five of the 2019 NLDS, I think Dave Roberts lost that game. Not so much Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly was the second one, but having Clayton Kershaw start the eighth inning, I was fine with bringing him in to get the last out of the seventh. But for me, what it seemed like, and obviously I don't know Dave Roberts. I don't know his thought process, but he had said beforehand, Clayton Kershaw's available out of the bullpen, thinking that they would need him. And then it got to a point where they didn't need him, but he had already said that he was available. And I, like, my gut instinct is that he wanted Kershaw to have a postseason moment, that he wanted to help Kershaw get the postseason monkey off his back, that is mostly not deserved. Clayton Kershaw has pitched a lot of really good games in the postseason, hasn't been as good as the regular season, but, you know, he's been very good. 2017, he probably got the World Series MVP stolen from him by the Astros cheating, you know. And so I think Dave Roberts was on a Clayton Kershaw redemption tour and wanted him to get those outs, wanted him to get Rendon and Soto. And the fact is they had six outs left to get, and they had eight rested actual relievers. And so there was zero reason to use Clayton Kershaw there. And again, there was zero reason to use Joe Kelly for a second inning. I had no problem with him bringing Joe Kelly in. It was leaving him in for a second inning that was the issue. When you have so many rested guys, the Dodgers were up 3-1, six outs to go, and eight rested relievers, and he had Clayton Kershaw pitch to Rendon and Soto. And, you know, the last few years, Kershaw's biggest weakness has been home runs. You know, he's actually still been pretty darn good, but he has given up more home runs than usual. And so I thought that was basically an indefensible move. And I thought so even before the home runs happened. I think the decisions that Roberts made in 2017 and 2018 all fell somewhere between absolutely correct and defensible. And I don't think the same about game five of the 2019 NLDS. I think Roberts blew that.
All right. More of my conversation with Locked On Dodgers' Jeff Snyder coming up after this message. Do you hate stepping on the scale? Maybe it's because you haven't met the right one. A company called Withings produced the world's first smart scale, and they are still the best. In fact, Tom's Guide rated Withings Body Plus the best overall smart scale in 2020. If you're looking to lose weight, willpower is key, but so is having the right tools. Withings smart scales are known for durability and an exceptional user-friendly design. Step on and data from every weigh-in syncs automatically to the free app for iOS and Android via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Lots of smart scales don't have the Wi-Fi option, and it means you need to have your phone on you. But Withings Body Plus gives weight, full body composition, weight trend, even a local weather report. The scale can support up to 8 users and even know who is who. So here's the deal. You can get 25% off a Withings Body Plus right now at withings.com for a very limited time. Go to withings.com, withings.com/MLB to get 25% off Body Plus Body Composition Scale. That's withings.com/MLB to get 25% off Body Plus Body Composition Scale. And man, if you're Kershaw, how do you respond at this point? I mean, I feel like at this point, I know that a lot of it is undeserved, and he's been such a great pitcher for so long, including in the postseason at times. But at this point, it's become a story, and he has to be pitching scared almost, I would think.
I don't think so. I don't think that's in Kershaw's DNA. I think very few guys become major leaguers, and basically zero guys become Hall of Famers if they have that mindset of pitching scared or worrying about what happened in the past. I think that's something that people like you and me will project onto professional athletes, because that's how we would react. Mm-hmm. But we have to remember that the reason that they are the professional athletes and we're the guys talking about them on a podcast is, at least in part, you know, partly athletic ability, but partly that ability to just brush off pressure and just perform. And so I don't have any concerns going forward about Kershaw. I think if anything, he'll use it as motivation. I think that's kind of the mindset that professional athletes have, is defiance and anger, and I'm going to shove it up their butts now because I'm mad about this, you know, not doubting themselves, you know. And I think Kershaw was in tears after that game, and I think he had his moment of doubt and sadness and whatever, but then I think he just moved on, and I think he's ready to move on, and I don't expect that to affect him going forward. Let me ask you one last one. Who's going to pitch for the Giants? Like, dude, can you tell me all the pitchers' names, or any of the pitchers' names? Like Johnny Cueto and Jeff Samardzija and Pray for Rain?
Yeah, so I actually on my show talk a lot about how I think they have really good depth. It's not quite the standout names. They don't have Madison Bumgarner, but I think you would probably agree Madison Bumgarner has actually regressed a little bit recently, and maybe Arizona is not the best place for him to pitch, you know, having developed.
I'm really looking forward to it. I'll be honest with you.
I think we both are now, and we can kind of look for, you know, the Giants will go in there and try to do their best against him, and that'll be entertaining. But in terms of who the Giants have now, you know, they did sign Kevin Gausman to a 1-year deal. They also signed Drew Smyly, and these are guys who definitely have risk, but they also are guys who represent some kind of upside, I think. And then beyond that, they have a bunch of young guys who also have some upside as well, like Tyler Beede, who finished out the year really strong for them, although he is now dealing with an elbow kind of issue, although this delay may actually help that. They also have Logan Webb, who debuted for them last season and was pretty good at times as well. They have Tyson Ross on a minor league deal. They have Trevor Cahill on a minor league deal. They have other young guys. They have a 6'11 pitcher named Sean Jelly, who's been pretty solid in the minors, who's probably their best pitching prospect now. And he may debut in 2020 if we do see a 2020. So the bullpen is a little more like totally unknown to me. But as of right now, it's Cueto, Samardzija, Gausman, Smyly, and then a competition for the fifth spot.
Oh, well, that makes me feel better.
Knowing that you'll get to face those guys?
Yeah.
Gausman was good with the Braves in 2018 down the stretch, and then he struggled last year with the Braves, but then went to the Reds and was actually dominant out of the bullpen. So,
yeah. Gausman, I mean, he was a highly touted prospect, you know, 10 years ago or whatever. So, right. Well, that's I don't know. We've talked for a long time. Anything else you want to talk about before we wrap this up?
I think we're good. I hope that, you know, we can do this again, especially if this delay goes on. We can just check in from time to time. And if the games start up, it'd be good to kind of preview series or recap series. But
absolutely,
that's it
for sure. Yeah, it's we can do some trash talking, and you know, it might be a little bit one sided this year, but hopefully in the next few years we'll get to a point where I don't feel like I'm kicking a 2-legged dog.
Right.
Trash talking the
yeah,
Giants.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Ben. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. All right, and that concludes my conversation with Jeff Snyder from Locked On Dodgers. Thank you very much to Jeff for collaborating with me on this episode. Really hope you enjoyed our conversation. This is definitely a plan for this show moving forward, is to do some crossovers with other hosts around the league, and especially within the division, to just continue to implement these shows from time to time, especially as we wait out this delay in baseball. Remember, to get this show every weekday, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's Kaspic. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Giants. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On Fantasy Baseball. Thanks for listening, and until then, we'll see you next time.